Hello, this is Dan Jocelyn back again. I'm a writer for Watchers, and we were talking about Season 5 and really sort of some of the process parts behind that, and my role in it. So we had come to the last run, so what is originally scheduled to be the last run, which I think was, gosh, was supposed to have No Good Deed in it, and some other stuff. And we really sort of came to the conclusion that we needed more episodes in there to set things up. The season had been going along and going along and going along, and, you know, we were well into the season. People were still saying stuff like, okay, so what's the connection between this Omira woman and the Voice of Hell? I mean, we knew it, but it seemed like we hadn't done something with it. We needed to show her doing something. We needed to show, you know, the Voice of Hell doing things, first of all. We also needed to move things around for the finale. We needed to believably get to a place where they would kick the council out. And it wasn't just Omira rabble-rousing. And we were getting close to the spot where they were supposed to kick the council out. That part was written, I think. And we were like, this doesn't follow. And we basically came to the conclusion that more episodes were needed. I proposed a new episode that ended up being Last Tango in Cleveland, which is kind of a hilarious title, in my opinion, and for a lot of reasons. And that was really ended up being kind of an interesting sort of our last arty episode in a way, because it's non-linear and shows things from everyone's perspective. It did a few things. It showed the Voice of Hell moving stuff around and planning things and being evil. It moved our relationships forward, because we felt like we hadn't, you know, we'd expected sending Will into prison to sort of mess things up. And then we got to the finale, and it felt like they were talking about how things were messed up, but we hadn't seen it. So we needed to see them being messed up. And that's really originally what Last Tango in Cleveland was partially about, if that makes any sense. And then CN said she was going to write Breaking Point, which is interesting because I think they're two very different episodes that are essentially about the same thing. They're very much the conflict between Rowena and Faith. They're the Voice of Hell is attacking us, and how are we going to respond to this? But my version ends with, you know, no emotional resolution. They're fighting and there's lots of violence. Whereas in CN's version, there sort of is this emotional resolution a little bit, and it's resolved partially by Faith making a speech, you know, rather than beating someone up, which is really interesting for her character and for all of us, really, to deal with sort of that side of her character this year. So really, I think those two episodes were crucial. No Good Deed was on until very close to when it was going to air. As some people who were on the forum and on the site may remember, it was Drew's episode. He, you know, wrote a lot of it, and we were reading it and sort of said, okay. And I don't think he was ever happy with it. It was very much an outsider episode. It was supposed to show a very different side of the Watchers Council through outsider characters, and really kind of flip things around. And I think it would have given people an interesting perspective on where we were this season. And if people, there was a reference in the version of Asha that originally aired, and CN took it out very quickly, like within a day, that where I had written, assuming that No Good Deed was still going to be on, about how they had, you know, maybe they're mad about how they're talking about oversight and somebody says maybe they're mad about that fleet of planes that they paid for that we blew up, and Kennedy's like, we didn't blow it up. Yeah, that's this is how Kennedy talks, of course. Anyway, so yeah, the council's fleet of planes was among the things that got blown up in No Good Deed. So there was action involved. But I think, you know, it was enough of a self-contained thing that we could excise it and not lose too much. Because we were the week of, and it just wasn't there. And I think Drew, you know, Drew would have been the first to say that it wasn't there. For a lot of reasons. So we finally got to this two-part. So we basically, of this last run here, originally, you know, we said this was supposed to be the last three of six episodes, I think, or something to that effect. Like, we ended, originally, Breaking Point, Last Tango in Cleveland, and two of the three parts of Generations weren't scheduled, which is sort of why this has taken so long. And I think part of it is we just keep saying, well, we have more story for you, haha. And since there's no network that to tell us, no, you have to keep it within this length, we've kind of kept going. You know, it's like one of those authors that finds out he has four chapters left when he thought he was done. And so we got to these last two episodes, which is kind of always where we were going. We had talked about very early on, I think I said, and Buffy's driving a submarine! And, you know, some people heard it and thought it was awesome, and I don't think CN even noticed, because we got halfway through the year, and we're like, and there's a submarine! And she goes, wait, there's a submarine? This isn't Hunt for Red October, what are you talking about? But yeah, we eventually got our submarine, which was nice, and I got Buffy driving a submarine. Not quite as much as I had originally pictured of Buffy driving a submarine, but I don't know, you know, I'm not sure. I was picturing long sequences of us almost dying because Buffy's driving the submarine, but I think that may have been not a good idea originally. Speaking of Buffy, in the finales we have Buffy and Xander. That was originally, we said very early on, okay, well hint, and then, you know, they'll kiss in the finale, and then they'll be together. You know, that was, it ended up sort of happening before that. I think it was just, we couldn't wait that long, and it felt like, I think I originally had said years ago, you know, Susan Carr, one of our executive producers, said, oh, we should totally do this. Buffy and Xander together forever. And I was like, no! He's like her brother. And, you know, I think things change. I believe it now because it's been a long time. You know, it's been 5 years. She's baked. And it makes more sense now, I think. Like, I don't think it would have worked on the original series of Buffy, but I think it works now that we've sort of gotten that distance. And really, Buffy just deserves a damn boyfriend, to be honest. So I think that's, you know, a nice place for them to be right now. And like I said, we had set aside that moment. There was supposed to be a moment, I think, originally, when we had talked about this very late in the season, where Ethan, it was going to be like, well, we need to teleport someone outside the door to where the demons are to beat up the demons and, you know, open the door because we're trapped. I mean, there was this whole scenario where they were going to be trapped and someone had to be teleported out of there and it can only be one person. And Xander's like, oh, I'm going to go. And Buffy's like, no, you can't go. And he's like, why? Because I love you. And then they kiss and big smoochies. And it's like, that was going to be the first big kiss. And it kind of, that, we never quite got there. But we did sort of use the submarine thing as a, you know, sort of symbol that, okay, they're together now, and it's not just, oh, we went on dates because it's fun and we don't have boyfriend and or girlfriend, you know. That's really how it went down. And we had talked about a lot of things this year, you know, who should die and or whatever, and we eventually got to the point where, you know, CN said, well, let's just not kill anyone, you know, at least not, you know, in the middle of the season. That's big. And so we still have three episodes left, and I'm sure not everyone will survive. But I think some people were expecting not everyone to survive this episode, as in unto the end, and pretty much everybody did. So that was cool, I thought. And Faith got to sort of save the world with talking from her mouth, basically. And the Watchers saved the world with research. And that all went well. And so I think that we really got to, again, sort of get to that full circle place for a lot of our characters. And there's still three episodes left, which has action and pathos and all that good stuff, not to mention smoochies. And I think one thing, you know, we've set up a lot of things. People are like, well, why aren't they saying this yet? They're just stringing us along. And I think, you know, in the finale, we don't string you along at all. I don't know if we've done that in the past, but it's, you know, stuff that people have been wondering about, the kind of mysteries, get solved extremely quickly, and then we're off and running with plot stuff. And really, I don't think any series has quite gotten a finale like this. I mean, it's three full episodes. We try and, you know, bring as many characters in as possible and resolve as many issues as possible. But I mean, people have seen Restoration, you know, they know where we're going, but I think that this will be an ending to the series that is hopefully what our fans are looking for. It's got a little bit, as I said, of everything, so hopefully you'll enjoy it. It'll be over the next month or so, and in the meantime, I may be making more podcasts about different things, but I'll be signing off. This is Dan Jocelyn, writer for Watchers. Thanks for listening.